We're doing Tamil Dvara. We're on page Chaf. We're up to the eighth attribute, Yichbosh Avonoteinu. Hashem holds down our transgressions. Now, what we're about to discuss, that there are a few concepts here, one of which is a little bit difficult to understand emotionally. It's understandable conceptually, and sometimes understanding something conceptually is correct. Sometimes our emotions get in the way. Let's take an example. Imagine that you have to have a filling. And the dentist tells you, I can give you a shot of Novocaine, and you won't feel a thing, or I could do it without the shot of Novocaine. You ask the doctor, what's the difference in price? And he says, $15,000. You know, there's no other dentist on the island. Now, what should you do? Let's take a better story. We had a student here who was a doctor of alternative medicine. And he told me once that he was on an island where there were no doctors and the people there were very poor. And even though he didn't have a license as a conventional doctor, he saw a person there whose finger had become gangrene. And he told the person, you have to go to the mainland and get it cut off, otherwise this will kill you. And right now you could only have a piece of your finger cut off. If you wait, it'll be your hand. If you wait, it'll kill you. So the guy said, I have no money. I can't get to the mainland and I can't afford a doctor there. I can't have the finger cut off. He said, you have to have it cut off because otherwise you're going to die. And the guy said, then you do it. And he said, I do it, I'm here on an island, what do I have? So he said, we'll get together a team and we'll do it. So they got together three, four huge guys, they put him on a chair, they gave him a lot of vodka to drink, and they tied him to the chair, and then these four guys held on to him, and he started cutting off the finger. And the guy in the chair started yelling his head off. Now he had them do this. Now, as he's cutting off his finger, he's yelling and he's trying to jump out and he says, stop, stop, right? And until he fainted from pain. Did he really want him to stop? When he came to afterwards, he hugged him, he kissed him, you saved my life, I love you. But is it normal that in the moment of pain, he says, stop, don't do it, come on, you're killing me? Normal. But what's the truth? So our emotions are very real. No one can argue that the emotions are real. Feelings are real, emotions are real, but that doesn't mean that they override logic. We very often sense our emotions and they cloud our logic, like the guy has his fingers being cut off. That's normal, that's reasonable. When we're going to learn this, if we're really going to connect to what we're reading, then our emotions are going to yell, no! But that doesn't mean our logic won't be able to understand what we're learning. There's this balance in what we're about to learn. But let's begin. Yichbosh avonoteinu. Hashem holds down our transgressions. Hare HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitneg im Yisrael b'midah zo. Hashem treats the people of Israel with this trait. V'yisot kvishat avon. This is the secret concept of holding down transgression. Ki ne'a mitzvah hi kefurachat aletanitza. A mitzvah is like a blossoming tree which keeps growing and flourishing. Uvokat volad en tachlit, and it keeps growing. Without limits, likanes lefanav yitbarach, the mitzvah comes in before Hashem, and as our sages tell us, that even before a person passes away, every mitzvah comes before Hashem and says, I am the angel that was created by so-and-so who did this mitzvah. Omnam avonot, in lem knisa sham chas v'shalom, but our transgressions cannot enter. Ela kovesham shlo ikansu, Hashem, so to speak, holds them down, as the verse says, lo yigucha ra, lo yigubim gucha ra, Hashem says, where I am, no evil can enter. So transgression doesn't enter there. And this is part of the reason why a person will not get wages, he will not get rewards for his mitzvos in this world. Because mitzvos get so high that they're before Hashem. So Hashem says, this is the most precious thing. This is something that's changed the whole world. This is something spiritual. Now, what would a person say? Give me some goodies, right? I live in a physical world. Hashem says, no, that's not right. You whatever I'm going to give you down there doesn't add up. If I gave you everything in the world, it doesn't add up to one mitzvah. And that's why Hashem is not willing to take, so to speak, a bribe of a mitzvah. The person says, I did a mitzvah. Make it good for me, Ribon Shalom. You ever notice you do a mitzvah? And what happens next? If you notice in Tanakh, things go bad. Almost every time a person does something right, things go bad for them. Look closely. Where do you want to start? Cain and Abel? You want to start with Avram Avinu? Every time he stands up to a test, so then the next test seems to undo it. Like, he did what was right. God told him to go to Israel, and everything goes wrong. Like, he loses his wealth. He loses his wife. Everything goes bad. Hashem tells him to listen to Sarah. He takes on Hagar, and then things don't go right there either. Sarah gets upset at Hagar. He has to chase away his son Yishmael. Everything he does right, so to speak, turns out wrong. So you live in a world where we have this false expectation. If I do mitzvos, everything will go right for me. And Rav Moshe Kordovero says, no, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't take that bribe. We do mitzvot, there's a world to come. But don't expect that because you did a mitzvah, now everything will be okay. No? Hamashal bezeh. For example, says Rav Moshe Kordovero, En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Asa 40 mitzvot ve'esar averot. Hashem doesn't say, okay, so-and-so did 40 mitzvos, 10 transgressions, nisharu 30 mitzvot ve'echu eser be'eser. Let me cancel off 10 versus 10, he's left with 30 mitzvot. No, Hashem doesn't do that. Chas v'shalom, ala afilu tzadik amu v'asa v'ra achat, even someone who's completely pious, who did one transgression, dome lefanav kilu saraf ta Torah. Hashem says it's as though he burnt, God forbid, the Torah, at sheiratzei et chovah. Hashem says he has a bill to pay. And I'm not accepting exchanges for the bill. V'achar kach kebez chak kol mitzvotav, and ultimately I'll give him wages for everything. This is what I said. Our nature says, I don't want to suffer. And like the Pasuk says, Ol bad ol, Job says, you see you're about to get hit, you put your hand here. Even though the hand will get hit, you don't want the head to get hit, right? You put one piece of flesh to protect another piece of flesh, and that's natural. So when we hear this, our natural response is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm willing to forgo the mitzvahs, keep my wages, but let me have a good life here. But that's like the guy who's having his finger cut off, because right now our emotions reign wild. You know, bottom line, our emotions are charging. I remember as a child, we were taught this concept, and I would challenge myself when I was sick, when I'd have a fever and I was throwing up. Do I want to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, take some of my mitzvahs and let me feel better? Or can I say, I can handle this? Okay, so I'm suffering, I can deal. I would challenge myself as a kid. They taught us this in Cheder. It's one of the things you get when you go to Cheder. This idea that you don't want to give up your mitzvahs just for a little bit of suffering in this world. And it's an interesting thing. You know, how strong are we? How much is what we sense in this world? How much is that center stage for us? Part of it is that we never saw the world to come. You're working on faith. So to some degree, you say, this is very real, and that's a concept which I really don't know where I'm going with that. Like the Rambam writes and like the Magen Miduvna writes, we have a hard time with it because at the end of the day, it's not within our concepts. It's theoretical to us. But nonetheless, the concept, again, on a conceptual level, let's see what this is similar to. A parent walks with his child. I remember I did this as a child. I saw my kids doing this. A relative comes and gives them a gift. And sometimes relatives give them money. So a relative, let's say, gives them a $100 bill, right? And right after the relative leaves, you go to the supermarket. And the kid says, Abba, I want that gum. And you say, no, we're not getting the gum. And the kid says, I'll give you the money I just got as a gift. Get me the gum, right? So the kid is willing to give up the $100 for one pack of bubble gum that's going to cost 3 shekel, right? But he doesn't see that. What he sees is what he wants right now. He wants that gum. And to him, the money's worthless right now because he doesn't realize what that money's really worth. Now, I don't know if you guys did this as a kid. I did it as a kid, and I've seen my kids do it. When you don't have a concept of what money is worth, you're very easily willing to give up that money for something very little. That's what's going on here. Hashem tells us you have a portion in the world to come for the mitzvos you do. We have no concept what that's worth. And so we're willing to give it up for things that are very minor, if we would compare it. We feel like it's major, just like the kid who wants the bubble gum feels like it's major. We feel like our needs right now, our pain right now, is center stage. It's the only thing that matters. But that's not real. That's a limited perspective. So Chazal said to us, again, this is one approach. This is Rav Moshe Kordovero's approach. It doesn't mean everyone goes with this approach. But Rav Moshe Kordovero is teaching us the approach that Hashem is not willing to exchange one for the other. Because the mitzvos are so precious. Transgressions are carry a weight that's derogatory. Mitzvos carry a weight that's honorable. The two don't even match. You can't subtract one from the other. The idea that Hashem holds down our transgressions is that she'en avonot mitgabrim lefanav kemitzvot. Hashem doesn't let transgressions have the effect of our positive acts. Ela kovesh otam shlo italu v'lo ikansu. Hashem keeps them down. Imeyot shu mashkiach al darchei isha tov ha'ara, even though Hashem pays attention to how we behave, im kol ze ha'tov eno kovsho l'poach v'olad limod. When we do something right, Hashem lets it flourish to the highest extent. V'nichlal mitzvah b'mitzvah nimnem menu binyan ulvush nichbad. And one mitzvah has products which evolve from it, and Hashem says, I'm going to count it all. V'avonot en lehem sgula zo. Hashem says, when you do something wrong, I'm going to limit the ripple effect. Technically, when we do something wrong, it's unimaginable how much that can cause. What would be a good example? We know every action we do has a ripple effect. We're not. You have a good example? Okay.
What about not giving your child a proper Jewish education? The child intermarries, assimilates, and
right?
Two, three generations later, it's gone.
It's gone, for sure. Here, that's an example. That's an example. A person who doesn't give his child an education, that's an obvious example. I'm saying there are less obvious examples. There are less obvious examples, but there are many stories where little actions that we do cause a tremendous outcome. Here, let's take the story of Timna. There's a woman named Timna who came to Avraham Avinu and said, I want to convert to Judaism. I want to join your family. And Avraham Avinu said, no. And Timna had certain problems with her lineage. She came from a family that wasn't so great. Timna said, if I can't join Avram, I'll marry his grandson Eliphaz. Eliphaz wouldn't marry her. She said, I'll be his concubine. I'll be his servant, just to be a part of this family. She had the greatest intention, and because Avram pushed her away, from her came Amalek. She was the progenitor of that nation, which is our nemesis on planet Earth. That's Timna, because she wanted so much to connect to their Ribono Shel Olam. So she was the progenitor of a tremendous force in this world. And our sages say, Avraham Avinu pushed her away. He shouldn't have pushed her away. So here you have a small question. How rough do you have to be with someone who is improper but trying to join? Well, it has huge ramifications. There are many stories like that about people who were pushed away. And the Jewish people paid a big price. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what it was that made Avram say no. Chazal say he was wrong. It's not me. I'm saying I don't know. But even though what we do wrong has potential to have tremendous effect, Hashem limits the effect of negativity. Hashem limits them in Kabbalistic terms. They don't enter before him. So there is a ripple effect to everything we do. But Hashem says, I will propagate the ripple effect of the good, and I will hinder the evolvement of that which is wrong. So we learn from this, very often when someone does something good, So we put it down. Okay, he did that, and we move on with life. When they do something wrong, we remember it for eternity. You could have people forever holding it against someone. They didn't show up to my wedding. They showed up and left before benching. They showed up but didn't dance. They didn't give me a wedding gift. They gave me a wedding gift that was worth 5 shekel, and I gave them a wedding gift worth 300 shekel. People can remember all kinds of wonderful things about the other guy. He was the noisiest roommate. I told him a secret, and he gave it away. I'm never trusting him again. I lent the money, and he didn't pay me back. That's it. I don't want to have anything to do with him. People will remember the smallest thing that's wrong, and they'll forget all the good. Classic example is relatives. People's own relatives. We're so good at holding a grudge. Ask any kid about their parents. They're going to give you a long list of what their parents... They gave my brother this and they didn't give me that. And I asked them for this and they didn't give me that. And all my friends were getting a license at this age and they didn't give me that. And then there was this night that everyone went out and I couldn't have the car. People have this whole long list of what they hold against their parents. Wait a second, how much good did they do? In all honesty, for most people, I'm not saying always, but for most people, there's much more good than there was bad. Do we remember the good? How much do we remember the bad? Yichbosh, we're supposed to learn from Hashem not to hold down what someone did right and remember everything they did wrong. Ela adraba yichbosh shara, but on the contrary, Hashem says, I limit what's wrong. I don't want to look at it. V'yishkachil v'yaznichil v'lo yigu b'mgurro ra. A person should forget it. A person should not be involved with that which is wrong, which is bad. Some people are always focused on what's wrong. So if they're always focused on what's wrong, it's always a part of their life. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't let things that are bad enter my house, so to speak. I'm not going to let them evolve all the way up to me. I'm not going to be busy with that which is wrong. I'm going to be focused on that which is right. And that's a question how we view other people. And it's a question of habit. I remember... must have been a decade ago, there was a controversy about a certain ruling that a certain Rav gave, a Rav that I was fond of. And in the question of that ruling, so people were talking, and I didn't agree with his ruling then. I felt that he shouldn't have done what he did. He basically forced his ruling on a populace. He found a legal way to enforce his ruling, where he knew other people disagreed with him. And when people discussed it, so I wasn't sure if I had crossed the boundary of saying, of speaking right or wrong. I tried to stay out of the discussion, but I wasn't sure. So I sent him an email, and I said to him, you know that for years we've been friends, and for years I've been fond of you and I've admired you. In recent conversations, I'm not sure that I spoke properly of you, and I want to ask forgiveness. And he sent me an email back saying, I'm sure whatever the conversation was, you must have meant well, don't worry about it. I wish you only well. And I was so impressed that he was willing to look at it positively. I looked and I said, wow. You know, why would he say that? He has no idea what I said. The truth is, I'm not sure I said anything wrong, but I wasn't sure. So I wanted to apologize. He would never know about it, right? He'd never know what I said. But the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. I have to apologize to him even if he wouldn't know. I'm responsible to him, even if I'll never find out. But his positive approach of let's move forward, it's irrelevant. I'm sure you meant well, and if not, that's also okay. We move forward in life. That's this trait. That's this, that the Tomer Dvorah writes, to be able to take what's wrong, put it down, move on, not focus on it, not think about it. V'tiyat tovas tura tamid lefanav. And always to see what's right and what's good. A person should remember what's good and uplift it over all the good, over everything a person's done. I had the good fortune of teaching with Rabbi Nachum Rom in Yeshivat Torah B'Tzion. And he helped me, I don't know how many times. Like he helped me throughout my times there. He was one of the heads of the court of Johannesburg, of South Africa, of the Beis Din there. And then he came back here, a very big Talmud Chacham. Later in the year, I hope we'll go visit him. I want you guys to meet him. Very big Talmud Chacham. Once we had a halachic disagreement, and in the argument, I quoted a response of Rabbi Feinstein. that he wasn't aware of or he didn't remember at the time, and I showed it to him, and he said, wow, okay, that's a very good point you made from this responsa. Okay. A few months later, we took a taxi together. It was a Purim night, and you couldn't get any buses, so we split a taxi fare back to the neighborhood. And when we got off the taxi, I wanted to pay the full fare. And I said, neither of us had change, so I said, I'll pay the full fare. So the next morning, he comes back to pay me back the half fare that he owes me. And I said, don't worry about it. And he says, how could I take from you extra money? You've done me such favors in my life, I can't take your money. I said, what did I ever do for you? You know, he's been doing things for me all these years. And he says to me, you kidding? You showed me that responsa from Rabbi Feinstein. This is a few months earlier, right? But he remembered it. He said, you showed me that responsa. You helped me out. I never noticed that. I owe you so much. Well, I should pay your full fare. How could I take your money? Months later, but that's hakarat hatov. That's this idea. If you want to look at what's good, I once spoke to him about marriage. So again, everything was positive. You'll see positive people speak positively. I've heard people say, my wife pampers me. My wife takes such good care of me. So when I was younger, I thought, boy, are they lucky. Then I realized they're lucky because they look at the world in a positive way. Their marriage isn't necessarily any different than anyone else's. But they look at it that way. They look at the positive. A person shouldn't say, even if he did this, that was good for me, but he did that, that was bad for me. And guess what? We all did this. I'll tell you where we've all done this. Our parents have taken us out on a trip. And the whole day they sweated bullets, and they put up with our complaining, are we there yet? And they took us to the zoo, or whatever trip they took us on. They invested a lot of energy and money to take us on that trip. And at the end of the trip, we asked, can we have ices? And they said, no, you're going to get all sticky. Or I don't want you to take ices in the car. And then we started whining. What a lousy day. All the other kids get to go. And you never get us ice cream. You never get us ices, right? The whining, complaining babies that we are, right? Every one of us has done that. And guess what? Your kids will do it to you too. So they might have spent 1,000 shekel on the day for you. But when they didn't get you that popsicle stick for 2 shekel, that's it. The day's gone. Okay. Says Rav Moshe Kodavir, we shouldn't say, even if he did good, but he did bad. No. Vishkacha tova, and then a person is so easy to forget the good. Lo yasechen, a person shouldn't do that. Ela bara'aito tzekol dechitzu shiuchal, a person should be appeased in what's wrong in any way that he could. V'atova li yaznichen al olam miben inav. But what was good, should always remember that. If we'll always remember what was done good to us, then we'll always have reason to be happy. We have two ways of looking at this world. You could look at this world as a beautiful, wonderful world, and there are difficulties you have to deal with in life. You could look at the world as, this is terrible, every second things are going wrong, here I have a flat tire, this went wrong, that went wrong, the other thing went wrong. We could look at our day like that. I had a horrible day today. In all honesty, I had a horrible day. I started the morning, I was delayed by about 4 hours from where I had to go. After that, I had a problem with the bike en route. I had to spend a half hour getting dirty fixing the bike. I got to where I was, and there's a machine I'm responsible for. I didn't unplug it before Yom Tov. The electric jumped. They turned back on the electric. The whole electric board of the machine blew. Now I'm responsible for that. I can tell you the whole day was horrible, but I think I had a wonderful day. I think that you'll tell me, wait a second, how are you dealing with all that? It's life, right? So the only thing I'm asking myself is, what message did the Ribbono Shel Olam give me on the first day after Rosh Hashanah? Do tshuva, okay, I got to work on it. But am I upset and sad all day? No, I got things to deal with. Life is dealing with issues. The question is, am I going to look at that and say, this is terrible, what a horrible day. No, this is wonderful, what a beautiful day. We started Tavshinayin Vav, we have a beautiful year ahead of us, and we have a wonderful life. There are issues to deal with. Life always involves issues to deal with. Avraham Avinu didn't have smooth sailing. Look at our sages. They never had smooth sailing. So when suddenly the bike has a flat and you're stuck in the middle of the way and you got to deal with it, that's life. Maybe we should think I have to do tshuva, but we could focus on all the positive that's going on. Instead of having the flat last week when things were horrendously hot, I had the flat today when things were calmer. In the shade, I could breathe, right? It was a different day today than last week, right? What do I look at? We could look at the chesed Hashem did for me, or we could look at the problems Hashem did for me. Well, problems we'll always have. Are they the focus of our day? Or are they? No, the focus is the positive. And say that, okay, I got a deal. In life, you got a deal.